With the ringing of that school bell, you know it's time again for the Warren County Radio Bible School. And we call it a Radio Bible School because I want you to imagine yourself, maybe as your grandparents or maybe your great-grandparents, going to some little church house on their way and having their Sunday school lessons with them, and an old Sunday school teacher standing up and teaching them their lessons. And what we're looking at in this Bible school is old Sunday school lessons. In fact, the one I'm looking at now was written for the Sunday of May the 27th, 1923, by E.A. Elam. And we're looking at Elam's Sunday school notes about the call of Isaiah to be a prophet in Isaiah chapter 6. And so I would invite you at this time to take your Bibles out from under your seat and bring them up to the desk that you may be sitting at there in this Bible school, and to open it to Isaiah chapter 6 and listen to this old Sunday school teacher as he carries us through things that help us to understand the Bible better. Now, while you're doing that, I will remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our assemblies. And as you think of your grandparents or great-grandparents going to their Sunday school classes on that Sunday morning back in May of 1923, well, it's not much different than that now at Rock Cliff. We open up our Bibles and we listen while our Sunday school teacher leads us in the study of God's Word. And so if you can, you come be part of that and you'll learn more about your Bible. But in the meantime, get your Bible and listen along with this Radio Bible School. Isaiah chapter 6. And let me read the fourth verse of that. This is about Isaiah being in the temple, and he saw the Lord on his throne, high and lifted up, and the seraphim crying out, "Holy, holy, holy is Jehovah of hosts." And then Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 4. The foundations of the thresholds shook at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. The foundations of the threshold shook at the voice. Sinai quaked greatly when God came down and spoke from it in the wilderness. In Exodus chapter 19 and verse 18, at that time when he gave the Ten Commandments. And then we read in the New Testament that it was him whose voice then shook the earth. But now hath promised, saying yet once more, "I will make to tremble not the earth only, but also the heavens." Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 26. The smoke must have been the veil in the presence of Jehovah, as the cloud of incense covered the mercy seat when the high priest went into the most holy place, as in Leviticus 16, 12 and 13. This vision and prophecy, like others, not only referred to the people then, but we also know that the God whom Isaiah spoke when he's talking about Jehovah here is Jesus himself. John 14:21 says that this is the vision that Isaiah spoke of Christ. "These things," said Isaiah, "because he saw his glory and spake of him." Let me read that to you from John chapter 12, verses 37 through 41. Referring to Jesus, it says, "And he had done so many signs before them, yet they believed not on him, that the word of the Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, 'Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed?' For this cause they could not believe, for Isaiah said again, He hath blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, lest they should see with their eyes and perceive with their heart and should turn and should heal them. As Isaiah spoke, as John was writing these words, he's quoting from this chapter in Isaiah chapter 6. And then John says in Revelation 4 and verse 41, "These things said Isaiah, because he saw his glory and spake of him." And so combining what we read in John with what we read in Isaiah, we see who Jesus was. Jesus is Jehovah in this vision. Jesus is God come in the flesh. And so we glorify and magnify him. And so in this prophecy, in this vision, as Isaiah saw Jehovah on his throne, that seraphim cry out as though he should not be looking at this, saying, "Don't you know the Lord God is holy? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God." And then the place fills with smoke, as though to hide the mighty presence and the vision of the mighty presence of Jehovah with Isaiah from him. And then we read about Isaiah's humility. In Isaiah chapter 6 and in verse 5. Let me turn back to Isaiah 6. Isaiah 6 and verse 5. "Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King Jehovah of hosts." Being that close in the presence and that visible presence of God in his glory reminded Isaiah of his sin. Isaiah felt his sinfulness, and he was undone in the presence of God. God had said to Moses, "Thou canst not see my face, for men shall not see me and live," Exodus 33 and verse 20. So what Isaiah saw must have caused him to tremble. Different ones saw angels in God's glory, but this filled them with fear and trembling, as in the case of Moses, and in the children of Israel, and of Gideon, and of Manoah, and of Peter, and James, and John. It is an awesome thing to catch a glimpse of God in his glory. We read in Isaiah 6, verses 6 and 7, "Then flew one of the seraphim unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he touched my mouth with it, and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is forgiven." See, when Isaiah declared that he was a man of unclean lips and dwelt in the midst of a people of unclean lips, one of the seraphim touched his mouth with a live coal which he had taken with tongs from the altar. I just think the way he took that with the tongs. Was the coal too hot for even the angel to touch? And the fact that the coal was on his lips was not so much as to scorch them and blister them and burn them, as it was to purify them, as the heat of fire is a purifying thing. And then Isaiah expresses his willingness to go. In Isaiah chapter 6, and verse 8, "And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then I said, Here am I, send me." And so Isaiah answers with humility. When Samuel was a child, he said to Jehovah, "Speak, for thy servant heareth," 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 10. And Saul of Tarsus would say in Acts 22 and verse 10, "Lord, what shall I do?" Saul meant not only what should he do in order to be saved from his past sins, but also he would do whatever God would have him to do in the future. Therefore, when God sent him to the Gentiles, he went. everyone now should manifest the spirit of Isaiah and be as ready to work for the spread of the gospel and to do every other duty as he did. Verses containing the message of Isaiah was to deliver the people, but it was a sad one. John and Paul frequently quote from the passage in Isaiah 6 and applies it to the Jews of their day. Jesus said it was fulfilled in their day. You see, God said in Isaiah chapter 6, he told Isaiah to go and tell this people, "Hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy. Shut their eyes, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and turn again and be healed." The prosperity, luxury, ease, pleasure, fashion, vanity, pride, and evil associations described in Isaiah's chapter 2 through 4 are referred to in the introductory, "Close the eyes and stop the ears of the people against the truth and the pure worship of God. Their hearts became fat and slow and dead to act in obedience to God." God had predicted that when the people had eaten and become full and waxed fat, that they would turn to idols, despise him, and break his covenant in Deuteronomy 31:20. And Jerusalem, or Israel, waxed fat and kicked, Deuteronomy 32:15. Jesus says the people closed their eyes and stopped their ears and would not understand with their hearts and would not turn that he might heal them, Matthew chapter 13 and verse 15. It is said that Isaiah closed the eyes, stopped the ears, and made fat the hearts of the people because he declared their true condition. This sad message is like Jeremiah's, a declaration in Jeremiah 8 and verse 20. "The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved." And of Jesus' lament over Jerusalem in Matthew 23:37 and 38, when he says, "How long, how long," and wept over that city and of its pending destruction. How long? In Isaiah chapter 6, verses 11 through 15, we read, "Then said I, Lord, how long? And he answered, until the cities be waste without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land become utterly waste, and Jehovah hath removed men far away from the forbidden places, be many in the lands of Israel, and there shall be yet a tenth in it. It shall also turn and be eaten up, as with a timbereth, as with an oak, whose stock remaineth when they are felled, so the holy seed is the stock thereof." How long? How long was this sad condition of the people to continue? How long was Isaiah to prophesy in to them? The response was, until the cities be waste and without inhabitant, houses be without a man, the land utterly desolate, Jehovah hath removed them far away. And so Isaiah was to preach until everyone turned from him. The terebinth was a small tree of Palestine, from whose stump, when it was cut down, branches would spring up. So the remnant left of God's people was like this stump. It would continue until the Babylonian captivity, from them even until the personal ministry of Jesus on the earth, and until the final destruction of Jerusalem. Isaiah is called the gospel prophet because he foretold so much concerning Christ and his kingdom and his reign. I'm going to read to you some of those prophecies that Isaiah spoke concerning those things in our next program, and you'll want to tune in. because Isaiah is indeed a beautiful and glorious book, and the prophecies that he gave concerning Christ's kingdom.